All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn to John chapter number 20 with me, please? If you'd like to stand as we open the infallible book. John chapter number 20 and verse number 1. We call them the evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John the Apostle, chapter number 20 and verse number 1. The scripture says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, to the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. We know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. He stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God, your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken these things unto her. Father, bless this book. Lord, you wrote it. Now bless it. Bless it to the people. They receive it not as the word of a man, but as the word of God. May it bring forth eternal fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. All four evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are very concerned about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. They go into detail about the events surrounding the crucifixion, because it's such an important event on the calendar of mankind. But the Gospel of John is dealing on a level that he wants to raise us up to this morning. And that is the level of a sinner, a woman who had nothing, a woman who had lost everything, a woman, the Bible said, who at one time had seven devils cast out of her, a woman who every time she got up in the morning, it was another day of hell for her, a woman who no doubt probably had thought time and time again about taking her own life. She was driven, she was possessed, she was living in an earthly hell, until this man Jesus came by one day, and the Bible says that he cast seven devils out of her, and her name was Mary Magdalene. Just a few days before, she had stood at the foot of the cross and watched the blood drip down from his precious feet, and had seen the way that he had been tormented and crucified, and watched him take his last breath upon this earth. No doubt a deep sinking feeling had settled into her own soul as this precious one that had delivered her from the power of hell had died before her very eyes. And so now she probably had descended into deep depression. And now on the third day she had come to the tomb, and Mark tells us that she came with spices to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. What more could she do for him? He was dead now and he was gone, but she could show what manner of love possibly left that she could do physically. So she came to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. How well-meaning we are in the things sometimes that we do. But the truth is that there's a greater truth and a higher reality that can be grasped if we just reach up and take hold of it. She was looking for a dead body, but God had something a whole lot better for this woman early on that Sunday morning. Before the sun had even come up, while it was yet dark and most of the people were asleep at home in their beds, Mary Magdalene was headed for the tomb. There's nowhere else she could be. Where else would a woman like this be? Where else would you be if you'd had one come to you and take all the hell out of your heart and save your soul and write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's where you're going to be. You're going to be seated at his feet. You're going to be washing them with your tears. You're going to be standing where he's standing. You're going to be seeking him out day in and day out, because that is the meaning of your life. That's what you're here for, and that's what you live for. And before Jesus came along, you had no meaning to your life. You just made a paycheck, came home and ate and went to bed, and you lived like all the other animals do around. But until the day that you met him, you had no real reason for living. Imagine how she felt. Her reason for living had died, and they'd taken his body and they'd laid it in a tomb. Oh, thank God for wonderful surprises. What have you done with this body? She said, supposing that he was the gardener. Her heart was broken. At least she could take his body and gently caress it and lay it back in the tomb where it had been. What a horrible thing to think that somebody would come and steal the very body. Wasn't crucifying him enough? Wasn't it enough to nail him on a tree? And now they carried his body away from the tomb. And where is he? And the gardener, she thought, was standing there. And she called out to him as the gardener. Oh, Jesus is so close to so many people, and they never know him any more than a gardener. He's just some religious figure. It never does settle into their soul that they're standing in the presence of life itself, of the living one. And but when he said her name, and when he said her name like nobody else could say her name, when he spoke to her soul like nobody can speak to your soul, you can deny him all you please. You can take this Bible and throw it into a corner, and you can say none of this is real. But there's one that can get your attention and can talk to you like nobody else can. He can talk to the soul of a man. And when he said Mary, oh, how that word, how that name, how he said it, it reached way down deep inside and it touched her heart. Oh, listen, how she must have been excited. Nobody ever said her name like he said it, Mary. Oh, it got a hold of her, and immediately she cried out, Rabboni, Rabboni, Master, Lord, my Savior, my God. Amen. It was at that place, that morning in the darkness, on that first early Sunday morning, that the worship service broke out. I mean, this woman fell before him and began to cry out, Rabboni, Master, hallelujah, it is all right. You are alive. You live now. And you've broken the chains of death and of hell. It was there, my friend, that something was established that would stand forever. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, John, take a good look at me, John. That's why you're here now. I'm not in here this morning worshiping some religious principle. I'm not in here today talking about the Baptist faith. I didn't come in this house today because I'm religious. I came in here because I was in a hell hole one day. I was in a dog pen. I was out there, and he came to me, and he cast the devils out of me, and he spoke my name. And when he spoke my name, nobody ever spoke my name like he spoke it that day. And he saved my soul. Rabboni, Rabbi, Teacher, Master, Lord. You call him, my friend, whatever rises from the heart, but it'll be a word of praise. That day he stood. That day he lived. And he still lives. And he'll live forever in resurrection life. Hallelujah. And he said, Mice, he said, Master. And he said, Mary. And now, my friend, there's an awful lot of people that don't like the idea of Jesus living. Let me give you just a few. There's Satan. Satan, for example, he's not happy about it. He's really mad, if you want to know the truth about him. He thought he'd finished him at the cross. He had deceived, he'd lied, he'd connived, he did everything he possibly could, and his son died. The bulls of Bashan, according to the Old Testament, had gathered about him. You see, my friend, the people that stood around saw the flesh, but the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Almighty, could see the spirit world as it gathered about him. He could see the demons of hell as they hovered over him. Oh, how that darkness must have been darker for him. How death must have been deeper for the precious Lamb of God. The Bible tells me plainly that the bulls of Bashan compassed him. The dogs came after him. It was there the spiritual battle took place at the cross. Satan wanted him dead. He wanted him dead. He wanted him done for. He wanted him done away with. And when they took his lifeless body off of the tree, and they carried it out to the tomb, and they laid him in that virgin tomb, and they rolled the stone in front of it, I'm sure Satan breathed a sigh of relief and said, I'm done. He's done for. I've done it. I've become victor over the Son of God. But on the third day, when he arose from the dead, I'm telling you right now, when that light came out of that tomb, are you listening? The resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, Son of God, as he stood on resurrection ground, the power of God went out from that place, and every demon in hell, you could hear him stirring, you could hear him panicking, you could hear hell itself shaking, for the foundations of hell began to shake. The Lord Jesus Christ is alive. He that was dead is alive. And Satan says, you don't have to tell me. I know it. I feel it. And I am condemned. And they are, friend. Satan wanted to see him dead. He didn't want to see him alive. Religion didn't want to see him come out of the grave. The Pharisees and the Sadducees that had done away with this man, I'm sure they thought their problem was over. Their problems had just begun. The Lord Jesus Christ arose from the dead on the third day. And when he arose, word got back to them. And they said to themselves, it'll be worse now than it was before. It'll be worse now than it was before. For everybody's going to believe on him now. We had him dead, and now they say he's alive. And they never saw him. An unbeliever never laid eyes on him after the resurrection. Read that New Testament. Not one single unbeliever ever saw the risen Lord Jesus Christ. But my friend, those that did believe, those that accepted the truth, those that received the life, had a personal visitation of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Rome didn't want to see him alive. Oh, Rome wanted the peace of Rome. That's all they cared about. Listen, the governmental magistrate, he didn't care one way or another about your faith or your religion. He just wants his peace so he can prosper and make his money. But I'll tell you this, my friend, Rome couldn't keep him in the grave either. Amen. They couldn't keep him in the grave. Let me give you a few that did want to see him alive. Mary Magdalene, for one. She was the first one at the tomb. Yes, sir. You better believe that when she left there, she met the disciples who were hiding for fear of the Jews and said, I've seen him. I've seen him. He lives. They didn't believe her. No, they didn't believe her. No, a prayer meeting didn't break out and rejoicing and praising God. Unbelief set in. That's exactly the same thing today. I'll tell you why your life is dead. You may be born again, but you live a life of unbelief. The power of God is afar from you. It's apart from your life. If you only believe, he said, all things are possible to him that believeth. Reach up, embrace the one that is higher than you, the power that is greater than you, and quit looking at each other. As long as you look at men, you're going to die. What faith did they get from each other? Their unbelief fed their unbelief. One doubted, another doubted. They didn't help each other in their faith, but they denied all of them in their faith. But Mary Magdalene said, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive, he lives, he lives, he lives. You may never know it. You may never understand it. You may never receive it. But this morning I know in my soul and in my spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. Yes, he is. Peter wanted to see him alive. He did. Peter did. I can't imagine how Peter felt that day when he denied the Lord the third time, heard that cock crow. I can't imagine how the great Peter that walked on water and went out into the dark weeping that night. He had failed his Lord. Are you there this morning? Have you failed him? Got good news for you. Got good news for you. Have you failed him? He'll seek you out. He'll find you. And he'll call you back by his grace. Hallelujah. The one that called you and saved you is the same one that calls you and restores you. It won't be a man. Men hide behind you when you fall. They use you for an excuse. Not the Lord. Go tell the disciples and Peter that I am risen from the dead. Why, Peter doesn't want to know, Lord. He's the first one that wants to know. That changes everything. Because he lives, I shall live also. Because he lives, salvation is free. Because he lives, your sins can be forgiven. Because he lives, there is power in the church of God. Some of them want to see him alive. And Paul, don't forget Thomas. Oh, don't forget Thomas. Thomas, I feel it. He's my first. Listen, Thomas and I are brothers. We knew each other well. Until I see the nail prints in his hands and thrust my hand into his side, I ain't going to believe. Okay, Thomas, the Lord heard it, and he mocked it down. And he said, I'm going to make Thomas a personal experience. I'm going to come and appear to Thomas after I appear to the others. And he did. He picked out all the disciples that were all there. They all received him. Then he looked over there and fastened his eyes on the eyes of Thomas. He looked him eyeball to eyeball and got his attention. Old Thomas probably wanted to slip off into a corner about then. He wanted to get over in a hole somewhere. I'm sure if he'd have found a crack, he crawled into it. But he couldn't go. When the Savior fixes his eyes on you, ain't nowhere to go. There's nowhere to hide. When he begins to look in your soul, the only thing you can do is answer him. And that voice came forth, just like that morning when he said, Mary. And when he said, Mary, he got her heart and he got her soul. He got her that day. When he looked over at Thomas and he said, Thomas, Thomas, oh boy. When he said that name, he said, Thomas, come here. Reach into thy hand. Oh, man. Heaven must have burned in his heart. Oh, Thomas knew. But the Lord had heard everything he said. Many of the disciples ran off and said, Lord, let me tell you what Thomas said. No, I didn't have to do that. The Lord knew exactly what Thomas had said. Reach hither, Thomas. Go ahead. Here I am. Oh, boy. Woo! Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Amen. 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 How many of you believe Thomas was a believer? Oh, yeah. I've seen many boys named Thomas. That's a good name because they understand the frailness and the weakness of human flesh. But you know what the Lord said back to Thomas? Oh, this is wonderful. You know what he said back to him? Thomas said, my Lord and my God. I don't read in the Bible who ever touched him. I don't read in the Bible who ever touched him. But here's what the Lord said back to him, Thomas. You believe because you've seen. He said, blessed is he that believeth and hath not seen. I've been blessed. God has blessed me. I believe. Oh, yes, I believe. And I have not seen. But in my soul and in my spirit, he'll raise me up to heavens above. Let me walk on mountains on high. Let my spirit soar with angels. Oh, listen. God Almighty has a place for you. If you want to go to that place, he'll carry you there. And do you want to hear him? Listen to that voice as it says, Thomas, I'm about to remove all your doubts. I'm about to take them all away in one fell swoop. There won't be any arguing. Won't be any mitigating circumstances. No, no, no. It's all going to finish right here, right now. Thomas, put your finger in his side. Now listen, friend, I give you that challenge this morning. You're in here and you're arrogant and you're proud. You're a man of the world or a woman of the world. You don't need God. You don't need that opiate of the people or that crutch. But I'm going to challenge you right now. Put forth your finger and touch that side. And when you do, remember what came out of it. And touch the holes in his hands. And get a good look at that crown of thorns that they rammed down on his head. And let him turn around and look at his back laid open and the skin hanging in shreds from that cruel scourging that he received from Pilate. And now look at him that was nailed on that tree. And look at him that suffered pure hell for me and for you. And tell me you don't believe. You're going to have to dismiss it and deny it and say it didn't happen. You're going to have to say in your heart, it's not real. It doesn't apply to me. I don't need that. Or you're going to have to deal with it. And he died. He died for you. He died for me. Oh, there's a bunch of them that wanted to keep him in the grave. Oh, if they could do it today, they'd keep him in the grave. Oh, the liberal so-called theologians are still saying that he's in the grave. They're saying he only arose spiritually. His message arose from the dead. His teachings are with us today. His spirit is here, but his body? Oh, no, 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 no. His body never physically arose. That's classic liberalism. Here's the problem with that. 2,000 years ago, the Jews hated him. The Pharisees and the Sadducees hated him. And Rome was indifferent, but they wanted to do something about it. And so, my friend, you better believe that the biggest body hunt that was ever made was made 2,000 years ago. I'm sure they sent squads out all over the land and said, you keep an eye out for that mess, for that deceiver. I want to find that body. I want that body. They don't believe he's alive. They want the body. Bodies have a way of kind of letting you know where they are after a while. They kind of divulge their secret. You can only hide a dead body so long until it lets the whole neighborhood know where it is. But they never found it. Never found it. Listen to me. Now listen to me. The Babylonian Talmud that's written by the Jews. Not one time in that Talmud. Not one time in that whole Talmud does it ever say they found his body. Not one time in secular history like Tacitus and Pliny and Josephus and Suetonius and men like that who wrote in the first century about Christ. Not one time do they ever mention anybody ever found a body. Nobody ever showed up. There's not a bone that can be found of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can be found of his earthly body. You better believe that if they'd had his body, they'd have put it on display. They'd sounded the trumpet. They'd called the town together. And they'd said, we got something to show you. And they'd have marched his body right down Main Street. And they would have destroyed Christianity right on the spot. It would have never made it another day. It'd been dead in 24 hours. But there's no body. So why couldn't they find the body? Somebody tell me why. His body stayed here for 40 days. 40 days on this earth. In the Bible, the number 40 is the time of testing. 40 days he was here on this earth. And then a little band of disciples gathered together in Jerusalem. And they looked across the Kidron Valley, across where the Garden of Gethsemane is located. And they were gathered together on a little mountain called the Mount of Olives, or Mount Olivet. I can't tell you, I can't even begin to tell you this morning how many churches I've seen called Mount Olive, or Mount Olivet. And they looked up at that mountain, and the heavens began to open. And there he stood, and he ascended. Let me tell you something about the ascension. He opened heaven. He opened the way. He went the way. He entered in. And heaven had to receive him. And as he left this earth, he left it with a righteousness that was born and bred and lived on planet earth. And that righteousness ascended into the very presence of a holy, eternal, righteous being. And that righteous one in glory said, I welcome my son and his righteousness. And that righteousness of the God-man that lived 2,000 years ago is taken now for every true believer in Christ. And that righteousness becomes your righteousness. And he literally covers you with it. Made the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. They never found a body because there's no body to find. Bodies are dead people. He ascended. He ain't dead. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'd use what I've said this morning for the glory of God. Pray for that one here that may not know you, Lord. I can't convince them to believe. I can't force anybody to believe. You wouldn't have it anyway. They must believe because the Holy Ghost has spoken to them, and they believe and they receive. May it be so today. Glorify yourself. May the Holy Ghost bear witness to the truth, and he will. He will. He did that before I was ever born. The Holy Ghost will bear witness to the truth. May he bear witness to the truth this morning for the glory of God. May the Holy Ghost speak to sinners and those that are unsaved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand up and sing this morning. Brother, what have we got?
Page 366 in your Almanac.
Won't you come? This may be the last Easter that the Church of God spends on planet Earth. This may be it. The last Easter that the church stays here, folks. Oh, there'll be another Easter next year, but we may not be here.
Amen.
We may be gone. Amen. Go ahead. Won't you come?
Jesus, take me near the cross. Hear my precious fountain.
Amen.
Bring to wrong a healing stream. Close from now, please bow.
Near the cross, near the cross, near the cross. Be my glory ever. Hallelujah. Won't you come? Won't you come? To come. Won't you come? The grave couldn't hold him. Neither could the earth. 40 days, a time of testing and proof after his resurrection. The earth couldn't hold him anymore. They had to turn him loose. And the next time he comes down to the earth, it won't be able to stand it either. Because when he puts his foot down on top of that mountain of olives, the Mount of Olivet, when he puts his foot down on that Mount of Olives, what's going to happen to that thing? Somebody tell me. Do what? It's going to bust right in two. The earth really doesn't want him if you know the truth about it. But He's coming back to take it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Bus Stratton, too. I'll just go ahead and mention this about that mountain busting in two. When it busts in two, there's a spring that's going to bubble up out there on top of that Mount Moriah. Pure living water is going to just come bubbling up. And it's going to run down there across that Kidron Valley through that mountain that's busted right in two. It'll run all the way down to the Jordan Rift. And the Jordan Rift, it'll turn right and go down the Jordan River into the Dead Sea. That water, that's life-giving water that comes up out of that mountaintop and runs down through there and into the Dead Sea, first thing you know, fish are going to start jumping up all over the place. The Dead Sea is as dead as it can be right now, but when that life-giving water comes, and that's a picture of the coming of Christ and the power of life. Everything he touches, he gives life to it. Hallelujah. Amen. May God give us just a speck, just a flicker, just a moment of that life in this house. And that's good enough for you for a lifetime. Just to taste it. Just to taste a life that is greater than us. Divorced and separated from religion. Just touch that life. Man, what a difference it makes for us. That's what the church is missing, that life. He's alive. And when he went to heaven, the Holy Ghost came down from heaven bearing the full identity of the living one, the resurrected one, the Lord Jesus. And when the Holy Ghost comes down upon a believer today, he fills him with life. Hallelujah. Amen. It's perversion and a corruption for a church to be dead. Because this book is alive, the Holy Ghost is alive, you are alive if you've been born again. We should never accept anything but pure life, living water. Receive nothing but that. That's our heritage and that's who we are. Receive that life. Christian friend, you're born again. Receive the power of the Holy Ghost, the unction and anointing that brings life. I don't hear much about that. Just get on your knees and say, God, fill me with that unction and that power. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Fill me with that life. I need that. I hunger for that. I'm so fed up to hear with religion. Aren't you? And I put the Baptist religion right with the rest of them. Tired of it. Tired of their big men and their big movements and their dead services. Give me life. Give me life. Give me life.
Yes.
Amen. His dad's been sick now for some time. And he wants to be anointed for him this morning. Y'all go ahead and be seated for a minute.